Day one of Steelers OTAs in 2022 is in the books, but what were the main storylines? Who showed up? Who didn't show up? And what were the most important things said? We'll talk about that here right on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, joined today by Josh Taylor of KDK TV and 93.7 The Fan. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on the video. If you're enjoying it, hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily content. We have episodes Monday through Friday, as well as breaking news updates and bonus episodes when we have time. We thank you for making Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Give us a 5-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts. We'll get you a shout at the end of the show. Join me today, as I said earlier, is Josh Taylor of KDK TV, 93.7 The Fan, all the places that you can always hear him and watch him. You can also hear him and watch him almost pretty much every week here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. What's up, Josh?
Nothing, man. We're at OTAs already. I can't explain it. It just, you turn around, it's another part of the calendar. We'll blink again, and it'll be training camp. It's just, it's nuts. But hey, it is what it is, and knowing the NFL, they love to keep us talking, so let's keep it moving.
Let's keep it moving. Now, I want to address, before we get into the main topic today, because this is only going to be something that happens, you know, just really quick, but I want to get into the main address, of course, Stephon Tuitt. That's a very loud thing that everyone's talking about. He did not show up in OTAs. Just as like I talked about, there was a chance that maybe it happened, but it wasn't mandatory because OTAs are voluntary, as everyone should know. But when asked about this, and you know, people were asking Mike Tomlin about this, Tomlin was asked, well, hey, like, I know it's just voluntary workouts, but did Stephon Tuitt, and he doesn't even let the question finish. He says, you're exactly right. This is voluntary. He's like, I focus my energy on the guys who are here. That's how I make it a productive day. So I want to say this before we get into everything else, Josh. Tuitt didn't show up, but I don't think that they counted against anything. I'm pretty sure they're talking with him. They know what he's doing or what he's rehabbing or what he's working on. What will be more telling is, does he show up for mandatory minicamp? Does he show up for training camp? Those things, not right now. People need to chill.
I love when people set themselves up with the questions they ask Mike Tomlin, and then he just lets them hang themselves with their own rope. And when you say, oh, I know it's voluntary, but what happened to this guy? And he says, yeah, it's voluntary. You're like, oh, wait. Stuff like that cracks me up, but it's something I've been asked about quite a bit between, you know, my own radio show and on the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call on Pittsburgh CW. I got asked that question twice in one night. What's going on with Stephon Tuitt? The truth of the matter is, I agree with you. We're not going to know probably until mandatory minicamp. And even then we may not know. Maybe he'll be in the building and not practicing, or maybe he'll be practicing and not, you know, doing a lot of stuff other than individual drills. We don't really know. It's just when guys need to be in the building, worry about the guys who are in the building, because the ones that need to be there and want to be there will be there.
If the Steelers actually thought that Stephon Tuitt wasn't going to be around, or that he was definitely not going to, they would then cut him. So those people that think that he's holding the team hostage or anything like that, no, they're giving him time to recover. It's not just about his dead brother. It's about his knee, and it's about other things. Because here's the other thing. What I keep thinking about is that we don't have information. So when we don't have information, we don't know all the background and how many other factors might be playing into this. You know, did he get COVID when this was going on? I'm telling you, as a person who recently got COVID and I may be testing negative now, it knocks me out just to walk up steps right now. So, you know, because like my breathing is ridiculous. I can't do this. So again, I'm not saying that Stephon Tuitt got COVID or anything like that, but I'm saying there's a lot of factors that we don't know. The point is, we don't know things. When we do know things, that will be the time to tell us. The Steelers are most likely in contact with Tuitt and know what's going on. But I want to move on, because Tuitt is only part of the day. I thought the most interesting thing was, this is the first time we got to see Mitch Trubisky up close and personal. The guy the Steelers signed to a 2-year, $14 million deal to be there. And Mitch Trubisky, I got to tell you, Josh, talked like a veteran who was ready to start. And I know a lot of people are ready to hand the position off to Kenny Pickett, but Mitch Trubisky was talking about how he's excited to play more free as a quarterback in Matt Canada's system, kind of sneak dissing the Chicago Bears and how they used him. And he seemed really excited to get to know the team and to work with the chemistry. This is a guy that, you know, this guy has 50 starts under his belt. He's a professional, and this is why the Steelers went and got him and added him to the quarterback room. And he also said, he's like, I didn't know that they were gonna draft Kenny Pickett, but I didn't care because I knew I was still gonna come here no matter what and do what I'm supposed to do to be the quarterback and the leader this team needs.
I've been saying this for a long time. Guys who do this for a living, their lives are centered around competition. That's the important thing. Their lives are centered around competing for a living, mm-hmm. whether competing in practice against their own teammates, competing on the depth chart for a starting spot, or ultimately competing against other competition in the game against an opponent. Their lives are centered around competition. If competition causes you to lose focus or make you not want to compete anymore, then competing for a living probably isn't your thing. These are guys that have to do this. And for the record, to get to this level of this game, that means you had to compete from your early days,
yep,
through your teenage years, into your early 20s, until you got to this point. So something like this should not be a deterrent for anybody. I saw people trying to, you know, drop the gotcha style, like, oh, they didn't tell Mitchell Trubisky they were going to draft anybody. Okay. He didn't seem that pressed about it.
He's not.
Nor should he, because the bottom line is, and this is the indisputable thing, when free agency began, they had him already lined up, teed up, ready to go with contract in hand. And that does not happen often with this organization. This organization tends to wait until after that first wave of free agency has come and gone, after it has washed up onto the shore and pulled itself back out to the ocean. They wait for that tide to come and go. Then they usually start making moves in free agency. They jumped out at the beginning after this guy. That shows you a lot about what their plan was, what exactly they wanted to do, and who exactly they wanted to do it with. So if we're still asking questions about what about Mitchell Trubisky now because they drafted Kenny Pickett, let me remind people of some things. The Steelers drafted Ben Roethlisberger 11th overall in 2004. You know who started week one? Tommy Maddox. It doesn't mean anything until it's time to put the team out there on the field to start week one. When we get to training camp, and if things change during training camp, if we get to the preseason and Mitch Trubisky doesn't do well in the preseason, or if Kenny Pickett just outshines everybody in the preseason, we won't know a thing until those things come into place. Chris, I got a question last week on the sports call about, well, if the offense keeps going three and out, will that mean Mitch Trubisky won't be the starter? That wasn't a Mitch Trubisky issue. He hasn't taken a snap for this team yet. That was a Ben Roethlisberger issue. And it was an issue for over a decade. He's no longer here. Let's stop putting the other guy's problems on the guy that just got here. There are people trying to find every way possible to move Mitch Trubisky out of that top tile and move him down. Until he gives you a reason, there is no reason to assume otherwise. And that is not a knock against Mason Rudolph. That is not a knock against Kenny Pickett. They are paying that man the most of those three for a reason. Let's just assume that reason is to be QB1 at the moment.
I agree. I think, we can confirm the Steelers did talk about this afterwards, and the order of how things went. Mitch Trubisky went first in reps, then Mason Rudolph, then Kenny Pickett, then Chris Olatik. So Kenny Pickett, no surprise at all. And this is the way the Steelers work. They weren't just going to thrust Kenny Pickett into a starting role just because they picked him in the first round. And anyone who thinks that they're going to do that is being silly or doesn't know what they're talking about.
They're not paying attention.
Exactly, and they don't pay attention. I wrote about this for Steelers Now that went up Tuesday morning, and then after the practices, I wrote again about what Mitch Trubisky said and how why he's excited to play free in that Canada's offense, and how it's very interesting. He's sandwiched between the guy who's behind him, Kenny Pickett. He's the first round quarterback selected by this team since Ben Roethlisberger. The guy he's trying to replace. And he even said, I'm not trying to replace a Hall of Famer. I can't do that. I'm trying to be who I am. All I'm saying is Mitch Trubisky, to me, gave solid answers, gave a good foundation, and so he's coming from a level-headed place to be the best version of himself in whatever Matt Canada's offense is going to be this year. To me, that's a good sign for the Steelers, regardless who ends up starting when the season starts.
It's fun to have a quarterback give you mature, measured-level answers, isn't it? It's weird. It's a little bit different. Let's just set the names and faces to the side. There's no drama involved. There's no, well, you guys are creating this, or this is something that came from the media. It's just refreshing to have a quarterback hear a question and say, you know what? I'm just ready to go play. I'm just ready to go do my job. I'm not worried about this. I'm not worried about that. I can't do this. I'm just going to go do my thing. That's refreshing to me. I'm loving the fact that Mitchell Trubisky is taking questions and answering them like an adult and not eating the cheese and just doing his job. And that's all I want. That's all we could ask for. That's all we could ask for. That's all I'm saying.
No, I feel you on that, man. But hey, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. We will continue to keep a close eye on this quarterback race. So we'll be kind of talking about that. But I do want to get to all the other positions out there, because we got to see our first look at the new makeshift of the offensive line and some very interesting notes. We'll talk about that in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, got to talk to you guys about Athletic Greens. Our next partner is a product that I literally use every day, and it's really helping me. I started taking Athletic Greens product AG1 because I didn't have time to prepare all the meals that I wanted to all the time to get all the proper nutrients every day. But with AG1, I'm having better gut health, more energy, optimized immune system. And as an athletic, I've been breathing a lot easier. And I got to say, as a person who's recovered from COVID, I do think AG1 has helped me a lot as far as in my recovery and trying to get my normal breathing back. But if I've been on AG1 for about 2 months now, and I love it. It doesn't taste like it's too healthy or super hard to gulp down. It's just a mild tropical taste that I actually look forward to when I drink it each morning. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens that help you start your day right. This blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your recovery, your energy, your focus, and aging, just all the things. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. Your allergies are kicking up right now, y'all. You need your best defense. Get some AG1. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day, and that's it. No need for a million different pills or supplements to look out for your health, and it costs less than $3 a day, and it contains less than 1 gram of sugar and better helps support your sleep quality. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL network, and you can take ownership over your health, and you can pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Josh Taylor of 93.7 Fan, KDKA TV, and all the places. Now, I want to talk about the offensive line because we got our first looks at everything. Now, of course, the rules of practice, for those who understand, I can't just say whatever I see at practice all the time. That's against the rules for the Steelers. If I see something, I can then ask a Steeler about it in the locker room afterwards, and then they can tell me what it was. And we did get this out of Mason Cole. Right now, he is the center number one on the roster. And it appears it's going to be Mason Cole at center, James Daniels at right guard, Kevin Dotson at left guard. I also talked to Kevin Dotson. I want to get into that maybe later this week. But I want to start with we'll get to Kevin Dotson a little bit, but Mason Cole basically saying like, hey, he's excited to be the center. He's learning everything about the offensive line. This is a whole new situation here. This is brand new center. And I even talked to these guys about who's the leader. Kevin Dotson told me right now, James Daniels kind of being that guy that's kind of taking that foothold as the guy he's not necessarily loud in the room, but he's like, hey guys, this is how I approach this when my time as being a veteran, because this is a very young offensive line. Jakeem Okorafor, who has what, 4 years of experience in the NFL, he's still just 24 years old this year. Kendrick Green, a second year player. Kevin Dotson, a third year player. Dan Moore Jr., a second year player. Mason Cole, a veteran that's coming into the team. But again, these are all young dudes that are looking to establish themselves in the offensive line. I think it's very interesting that Cole is the front runner at center. I thought James Daniels would be the strong right guard guy. Kevin Dotson, though, seems to be sticking at left guard. He also talked about how he was more comfortable at right than left. And when he got injured last year, he tried to rush himself back because he wanted to be part of the playoff push, and that messed him up even further. I'm interested to see how this line continues to gel, but it's interesting that Kendrick Green has already been pushed back to a number two role.
This is another thing that doesn't surprise me so much. I'm not surprised that Mason Cole is getting the look at the number one center. I'm definitely not surprised that James Daniels is getting the look at the number one right guard. We saw what he's done if you've looked at any of his tape with Chicago. You've seen what he's done at right guard, and you know how good he is. So it shouldn't shock you if you've watched any of his work with Chicago at right guard. He's a pretty strong right guard. And I think when the Steelers made that move, you had people in Pittsburgh saying that it was such a great move. You had people in Chicago very upset that it happened.
Very upset.
But you had people outside of both cities saying, hey, Steelers getting James Daniels, it's a pretty solid move because James Daniels is a good offensive lineman. So that doesn't shock me at all. Kevin Dotson at left guard. That's the thing that that was the one thing I wasn't sure about.
Yeah.
I knew Dan Moore Jr. at left tackle was there. I knew Chukwuma Okorafor at right tackle was there. Right. I was pretty sure about Mason Cole. I was pretty sure about James Daniels. Kevin Dotson was the one thing I wasn't 100% certain about. And honestly, technically, in terms of being tenured with this organization, he's the second longest tenured guy of those five with this organization behind Chukwuma Okorafor. Mm-hmm. But he was the one guy I wasn't sold on. I wasn't 100% on. So to see him there, I guess it's reassuring. I guess it kind of confirms in my mind that's what I would have expected or wanted to see. So I guess that's a strong sign. I expected Kendrick Green to probably be the odd man out. He feels like a man without a country to me right now because obviously the experiment at center last season did not yield the results they were looking for. We know he played guard in college. I think this feels like one of the situations that, all right, let's strip this down. Let's take this back to the beginning and find out what works for him. And let's see what happens from there. It feels like that's what they did, in my opinion.
No, I agree with that as well. I really think that there's a confidence, a quiet confidence about how the Steelers see their young group of offense. Because it's not just a young line. It's a whole young offense. I mean, yes. Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, all the quarterbacks are in their mid to early 20s. The Najee Harris, your lead running back, mid to early 20s. Your entire offensive line, mid to early 20s. Your playmakers, George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Calvin Austin, Miles Boykin, mid to early 20s. Pat Freiermuth, early 20s. Like this is a very young offense that's going to be discovering its identity as the year goes along and figuring out who they are. And I think that's the bit of an excitement around this is that with the offensive line, there's a lot of different directions they can go. And there's a lot of guys looking to prove themselves. These aren't just veterans who are saying like, hey, I'm just trying to reassert. These are guys trying to establish who they are going to be in the NFL. And those are often the hungriest dudes that you get to come out there. Now, yes, the Steelers, they don't got a guy who was drafted in the first round on their offensive line right now. James Daniels was drafted in the second round by the Bears. So, you know, you're hoping that things work out with him being kind of the guy that leads the way. But still, I do think that it's a good sign that they feel confident about their free agent pickups, that both of those guys are at least looking like the starters. And I think Kendrick Green, remember, he was a guard at Illinois. He played occasional center, and they thought that maybe with his mobility and his athleticism, because he does scoot very well when he gets on the move and he pulls, maybe they thought that might work out. It didn't last year. And Kendrick Green even said he felt like he played more like when it came to a comfort level, at his position, he felt like it was a two at center last year. He said he feels like it's six right now. So he's getting better, but still a six ain't what you want from your starting center, which is why I don't think he will be the starting center. And we saw the first glimpses of that today with Mason Cole taking over.
Yeah, six most days probably ain't gonna get you a hat to start.
No.
And two definitely isn't. So neither of those things are fine. I mean, granted, if you want to mark the improvement for improvement's sake, fine. But I think you brought up two really good points. A, the comfort they have with the offensive line after the moves they made in free agency, which I totally agree with. B, the youth on this offense, how young this entire unit is. I think that's something to look at because it shows me something on two different fronts. We're talking about the youth of this offense. And the second part is we haven't really seen Matt Canada's system completely rolled out.
We heard what Mason Rudolph said a lot. Yes.
We talked about that. Mason Rudolph said they didn't even use half of that playbook last season. So now they've got the opportunity to do two things. Totally rebuild this offense with a lot more young talent and a lot more explosive and athletic talent. And roll out an offense that people did not see most of last season. So there's a lot of question marks here. And you and I speculated on what it might look like and who's going to be where and who might have what job. But the truth of the matter that neither of us can dispute is we really don't know what this offense is
going to
do.
It's going to be something brand new.
And it's not a bad thing to me. Mm-hmm. The best thing right now, especially when you have people ranking the Steelers in like the high to mid 20s right now as far as power rankings go, that tells me two things. One, they're writing off the fact that the quarterback that who's the quarterback for 18 years and won a couple Super Bowls is gone and is replaced by a guy who was let go and was a backup on another team. That is understandable. But it also tells me they don't know what to expect in this offense because they don't know what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And if you're in that position, if you're this offense with a bunch of young guys that are trying to prove themselves in a system that guys are excited about, clearly, if you listen to what Mitchell Trubisky said, they're excited about it, trying to roll it out there, and no one knows what they're going to do. That works to your favor now if you're the Steelers offense because mm-hmm. no one knows what you're going to do. So you can work in silence without anybody knowing what you're up to. So when you come out and try everything, it is brand spanking new. No one knows what's coming. They don't have tape on it. And it gives you a short advantage for maybe a week or two because then teams start to have tape on you and then they expect what you're going
to
do.
And at the same time, there is a value to offenses having those go-to plays like this. Yes. Like the Todd Haley Steelers, they had that counter trade run where they'd have both Pouncey and DeCastro or Pouncey and another or DeCastro and Villanueva. And when they would pull out at the same time, you would mm-hmm. see two Beefalo linemen crushing people in front of you. And there were certain teams that just couldn't stop it, and they would run it
counter left, power right, rinse, repeat.
Exactly, and teams just couldn't stop it. And it's good to have that bread and butter because when you have that bread and butter, there's times where you as a team is like, we don't gotta think, we just gotta go beat these guys, beat them straight up, and beat them straight up. They see it coming, and they still can't stop it. It is great to have those, and the best offenses do have those plays, whether it's a run play or pass play or concepts that they're able to balance off of each other. The Steelers won't have that, so like. Whereas, yes, no one will see what's coming because they can't see what, because they don't know what's coming because this is brand new. But also, they won't have those go-to things, those things they can rely upon. Like, for example, Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, they could just look at each other and they knew where each other needed to go to make big plays happen. And yes, that means teams like the Patriots could say, we're taking away Antonio Brown by triple teaming him and making sure that you have to go to Eli Rogers or whoever else. But at the same time, right, but or Colby Hamilton. You love you some Colby Hamilton.
Blue pig. It's a hog. That's my guy.
But point being, there were so many times that was a staple of the Steelers that got them through so many tough games and so many tough moments where they were able to rely on those things. So it's a balance, but it's one of those things that the Steelers, being a young offense, are going to have to figure out. Well, we're going to keep talking about this young offense because there were some interesting things we saw from Najee Harris in his first day of OTAs in his second season in the NFL. And Mike Tomlin talked about him a little bit. We're going to talk about Najee Harris in just a second here. But first, we got to talk to you guys about BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, and even this year's NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, and Major League Baseball, all their odds and information right on betonline.net. And BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in the action when you visit BetOnline, where the game starts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Josh Taylor, and we're talking about the Steelers' first day of OTAs. Now, I also want to go over this, and this is an interesting point here that I saw this, and because OTAs, I was asking Mike Tomlin about guys who were standing out at OTAs, and you know, guys who stood out for, you know, last year compared to this year. And I asked him about Najee Harris, because Najee Harris, of course, being his top rookie from last year. And I asked him how he's taken things on this year now that he knows that he's had a year to go around. And Tomlin just kind of smiles and laughs. And he says, Najee acts like he has the answers to the test, but he had them last year also. I love Najee. And so there was that appreciation for Najee Harris and the vibe and the energy that he brings. And also, I got to say, when I saw Najee Harris up close and personal, I was like, my goodness, is this man just jacked even more so than he was last year? He's just like all the muscles everywhere. He looks like he's in the best shape that anyone could ever be. And it's funny because I thought that he was in pretty good shape last year. But then there was also some really cool moments where you just saw him taking more ownership of the practice, Josh. There was a drill where the Steelers running backs were bouncing off of things, and they had to go through this little obstacle course. And at the end of it, there was a kid who was holding on to this dummy that they used the dummy to attack the ball hand. And the whole idea was that the running back was supposed to slap that away or stiff arm it away so that they could protect the ball from any attacking defender. And so this kid was kind of, you know, cautiously doing it because he didn't want to like attack and hurt somebody. And I get it. You know, it's nervous when you're working with NFL athletes and you aren't one of them. But then Najee Harris at one point just sees that he's going too soft. He doesn't even say nothing. He just takes it from him and he just starts attacking the other running backs with this thing. He's going at him in different directions and they're still slapping it down. But you see him setting a better tone for the drill and taking ownership and leadership in those moments. These are all the things that I've said for a while that I love about Najee Harris and how he's going to be a really good leader for the Steelers. And it seems like the coaches are seeing it and the teammates are seeing it just even on the first day of OTAs as a second-year player.
I remember when Najee Harris got drafted and there was all this discussion about – there was a lot of pros and cons of whether or not they should have drafted a guy in the first round. What should they have done this? Should they have done that? Should he be the guy? Should they trust him? And I kept coming back to three things. One, he was the leading rusher in career yards at the University of Alabama.
Which produces a lot of running backs. Which
produces some really good running backs. Number two, he was tied for the all-time career lead in touchdown score with a guy named Tim Tebow, who was really, really good in college in the SEC of Florida. So another thing that's like, yeah, you can't dispute that. That kind of says a lot. And here was the third thing. And for me, it doesn't just apply to Najee Harris. It applies to another guy on this team. He played in college under one of the most laser-focused coaches when it comes to his approach with his players in Nick Saban. Nick Saban will get on guys in a game that they're up by 35 if a guy makes a wrong play or makes the wrong read or makes the wrong decision. Nick Saban is very heavy into the details. So Najee Harris, by result, is very heavy into the details. And so is a guy like Mick Fitzpatrick. They are both heavy into the details. They are both heavy into taking how they approach this very, very seriously. And I don't think it's a coincidence that both of these guys are either seen as possible leaders now or future leaders down the road in the case of Najee Harris. Mick Fitzpatrick could consider one of the possible leaders now of this defense, especially in the secondary. I think he can grow into that role. But it doesn't shock me that these two guys that played under this head coach who is notorious for hammering the details home in any given situation, and two of the best guys he's ever produced, because Nick Saban always has a lot to say about Najee Harris, and he always has a lot to say about Mick Fitzpatrick. Two of his best guys that he's coached are now professionals and hammering out the details. It does not surprise me at all. It doesn't shock me at all. It kind of reminds me of another guy on this team who tends to be one of those guys that kind of sets a level of intensity. But he's been around for more than a decade, and that guy's name is Cam Hayward. He's another guy that's good for doing that. Whether he's just – you just hear his voice, and you know this, Chris. You've been in practice. Mm-hmm. From the moment these guys hit the field and they're starting to do the warm-ups or they're running through the hoops and everything and doing all the, you know, stretches and do-si-dos, you hear Cam Hayward's voice from the moment he comes out the door. You hear him then. You hear him in one-on-ones. You hear him in drills. You hear him on the field. You hear him in 12-on-12. He is setting that tone from the moment he gets out there. So when you have guys like that, like Najee Harris, like Mick Fitzpatrick, like Pat Freiermuth, whom I think can become one of those guys, guys that are setting the level of intention and the level of expectation for how this team will work on a day-to-day basis, there is nothing negative I can say about that. That is what you want in this particular locker room at this particular time and place with this organization and what they're trying to transition into.
Absolutely. I wanted to get to this question from a viewer and a listener, Nathan Glass from Los Angeles, California, who asked a specific question about Najee Harris.
Hey, Chris, it's Nathan Glass from Los Angeles, California. Just want to send you a get well. You're a representation of Steeler Nation, man. You're a man of steel, bro. You'll beat this. Everything be fine, and you'll come out better than ever. The question I had for you was, I was looking at the running backs in the league. Of course, you got the Derrick Henrys and the Jonathan Taylor from the Colts. But I wanted to ask you, do you think Najee could be that third leading rusher this season? If not number three, at least top five this season. I know that, you know, there's also Nick Chubb, and Baltimore has a good running game, stuff like that. But, yeah, the question is, do you believe Najee Harris can be the third, if not the best, the league leader in rushing this season?
So thank you to Nathan for calling in and asking that question. Remember, you can call in at any point in time at 412-223-6644 to call in, leave your name, your voice, leave your name, where you're from, and ask your question. Try to keep it brief with under a minute, maybe 30 seconds. That is a lot better to get the question. And if you're international, you can send an email with a voice recording of what your question is. Again, leave your name and where you're from to losteelerstopicbag@gmail.com if you ever want to ask a question. So again, to answer Nathan's question, I think it's an interesting proposal of Najee Harris being one of those top three guys. For one, Najee Harris was, had 1,200 yards as a rookie, which was still a whole lot of doggone yards. He finished with the fourth most yards last year. So he was a top five back. Now, granted, he also had, the most touches in the NFL. So a lot of people look at that and they say, well, his yards per carry weren't that high.
Oh, he only had 3.9 yards per carry. So clearly he didn't do that well.
Right. And actually, I take that back. Jonathan Taylor did have more touches, did have more carries than him. But point being, Najee Harris ran the ball a lot last year. I think he might run it just as much, if not a little bit more this year, maybe a little bit back at it, because I think that they'll be open to the passing the ball a little bit more, and further down the field for bigger shot plays. But still, to answer Nathan's question, I do think Najee Harris is a guy who can lead the NFL in rushing. Now, granted, Jonathan Taylor is in a great spot because he's already established. He's been running. He has Quentin Nelson and that offensive line in front of him. That's a major advantage. Nick Chubb's been around a while. Joe Mixon's been around a while. Dalvin Cook's been around. And Derrick Henry will be back. Derrick Henry, despite missing most of the season, finished ninth in rushing last year. That's stupid. So there's a lot of things that could go against Najee. But this is why I was so excited. I was so excited talking about his leadership qualities, because I do think he could be that guy who's the A1 running back of the NFL, but also be that leader that everyone gets behind from the Steelers and rallies around. And guys like that, they rise to those types of challenges, just like you said, Cam Hayward does.
I got a few points I got to unpack with this one. First things first, it'll be the first of many times. Through the rest of my life, I'll be answering questions from someone named Nathan, which is a great name. It's my son's name. I'm sure he'll have plenty of questions for me down the road. So that's awesome. The second thing I want to point out is we're talking about the yardage that Najee Harris gained and the 3.9 yards per carry that some people keep trying to poo-poo, and I'm like, really? But I like to remind people, his yards per carry average should have probably been a lot less. Yeah. That guy gained yards he had no business gaining last year. Because he was behind a line that had no business blocking for him last year. Mm-hmm. And he gained a lot of yards that probably should not have been tallied to his credit. And those feel like extra yards to me. Mm-hmm. But now that he has an improved offensive line, and to your point, I don't know many situations better than Indianapolis's offensive line with Jonathan Taylor. I love watching Indianapolis's run game. They mm-hmm. hand him the ball. It really is poetry in motion for me. If you were an old school fan of running the football, watching Jonathan Taylor is the most fun thing you're going to watch. And I loved watching him do that. I want to say when he was at Wisconsin, I think it was, before he got to Indianapolis. I think it was at Wisconsin. And I loved watching it then. So I thought he was just an exciting running back. I feel like Najee Harris, I'm not going to compare him to Jonathan Taylor. The guy that I could see him producing along the lines of is a guy who was here not too long ago, who was very capable of running the ball with heavy volume. He was able to catch a high volume of passes, which Najee Harris also did. He caught 70-plus passes last year also, in mm-hmm. addition to running for 1,200 yards. I can see Najee Harris carrying the kind of load that a Le'Veon Bell carried, and not only doing it from a numbers perspective, but in the way of playing the style of play, being able to close games out the way Le'Veon Bell did. We always talk about the game where LeGarrette Blount walked off against Tennessee. We forget why LeGarrette Blount walked off, because he didn't play in the second half because the Titans could not stop Le'Veon Bell.
And Le'Veon Bell would never get tired. He wouldn't take himself off.
He wouldn't get tired. He would just close games out. He would wear teams down. He did it then. He did it in Kansas City the last time they won a playoff game. I think you pointed that out the last time we talked. He did it against Miami at home before that game against Kansas City. He was just a guy that could wear teams down and close games out. Najee Harris is capable of being that exact same kind of player, but with a much better attitude. And if you can wrap your mind around that, the possibilities, your brain should be stretching to either side of the room, because now it really expands on, hey, just imagine if Le'Veon Bell had a little bit of a different attitude and wanted to stick around and wasn't so concerned about how much money he was being paid and just went out and kept doing what he had been doing for those first 4 out of 5 years of his career, how much further could things have gone for him? Well, now you don't have to ask that question anymore. You got a better version. You got a 2.0 version that's new and improved and upgraded, that's younger, that's in a lot better shape, that's way more flexible, that's coming back in year two in even better shape than he was in year one, has got a much better mindset and a much better personality. Now you can start dreaming on that guy. Now you can start dreaming on what Najee can do. And yes, to answer the question that I haven't answered, yes, I think he could be a top five rushing guy, but I think he could be a top 5 yards from scrimmage guy.
Yeah.
That's the thing I'm looking at. Rushing, top five rushing is great. When you could be top 5 yards from scrimmage, like Le'Veon Bell was known to do, like guys like Edgerrin James were known to do, like guys Marshall Faulk were known to do,
They're game changers.
You start doing what those guys did, you become a game-breaking running back that teams now have to focus on so much that it takes focus off of other guys. That's what I'm expecting out of him, because I think if he reaches that kind of level, this offense becomes that much better, not because the running game improves, but because now it's going to open up the passing game. You got to worry about where he's split and if he's getting the ball, and that's going to take attention off of Pat Freiermuth. It's going to take attention off of George Pickens. It's going to take attention off of Deontay Johnson and Calvin Austin III or whoever else is split wide at any given time. This is the level I'm looking at. It's easy to say, yeah, he could be a top 5 yardage earner as far as running goes. I'm looking top 5 yards per scrimmage because he's that capable.
I'm right with you there. I think he'd be that good. I think that the Steelers are going to have a real chance to have a lot of special talent on offense balancing off of each other. And again, as the quarterback position is figuring itself out with Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph, whoever's the starter, figuring out what it's like to play the Matt Canada's offense, as that offensive line is pulling itself together and figuring out who's the leader and what's their strengths and how can they play to them, as those young wide receivers like George Pickens and Calvin Austin play into things, and also Deontay Johnson, who also didn't show up, but again, voluntary OTAs, don't be tripping on that kind of stuff. It is a contract year. We'll see how this thing plays out for him, and as well as Chase Claypool. All that's going on, all these guys have skill sets that are exciting to look at and exciting to see how they'll play out. And you got Najee Harris, who's very confident in feeling himself, and I still keep forgetting to mention Pat Freiermuth, who I think will be one of the best tight ends in the NFL. There is a lot of potential on this offense. It's all young. It's all looking to grow together. I think that breeds a lot of excitement. We will continue to see how things play out at OTAs. I will be there again Wednesday today. So do check us out at SteelersNow.com. I wrote about what Mitch Trubisky said. We also had Alan Saunders giving his takeaways from the day, top takeaways from the day, including who was and wasn't there. We'll be breaking all of that down there as we break down everything here on the Lockdown Steelers podcast. Josh, thanks so much for joining us. You're always a pleasure to have on the show. Let people know where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Social media, Josh Taylor HD. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, usually the best places to find me. Twitter, probably the most common of the three. As far as TV work goes, CBSN Pittsburgh, go online, cbspittsburgh.com. As far as radio, 93.7 The Fan, check out the Odyssey app or go to 93.7thefan.com. I will be back around this coming Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Chris, hopefully we can get you locked down to do that at some point Sunday morning. We'll get you later on so you can let you sleep a little bit. But we'll try to make that happen too. And I think that's all of it for now. I'll plug one more thing. 2023, this is something that we just finally put the finishing touches on. 2023, book collaboration number 7.
Oh, yeah, you've done a lot
in my career. Working with David Fanoli, who's one of the foremost, if not the foremost, sports historian in Pittsburgh. Integrating Pittsburgh sports.
That's
coming in 2023. I wrote 2 chapters, one on Mike Tomlin being hired as the first black head coach of the Steelers, and also Tony Dungy being hired as the league's first black defensive coordinator. So that will be coming in 2023. Really excited about that too.
Do check those out. Josh, the man is a historian himself. That's why we bring him on here, on top of being a great football mind and a great sports mind, here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. We're so blessed to have you. Thanks again, Josh. You can find me, Chris Carter, on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can read my work at SteelersNow.com. You can listen to this show, the Locked On Steelers podcast, on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and you can also watch us on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed it. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our breaking news updates and our bonus episodes as we release them out. Thanks again for checking us out. We'll be back tomorrow talking about day two of the Steelers OTAs and how they're playing out. We will see you then.